Our theme today is hearing God. And, you know, when you kind of say, you say hearing God, you ask the question, you look at a group of believers and you say, can you hear God? Now, there will be a response in every one of your hearts to that question. Can you hear God? Some will be completely spontaneous and say, yeah, fine, I can hear God. Also, it's a kind of a, it's almost an emotive question. Can any kind of true believer say they can't hear God? Now, we need to kind of, like, get the foundation right. Because it's just thinking about just sharing on hearing God. It's a very common subject. Everybody talks about, yo, I hear, God told me this, and I heard God say this, and this happened, and all the rest of it. And so to some extent, when you say, our theme today is hearing God, it could be a kind of a cue to switch off and think about something else. However, God has got you here because he's got something to say to you. And as believers, there's some kind of, I just want to lay down some principles and share some testimonies of hearing God. Now, my first scripture, I had all my Bible verses ready to go up on the overhead.
Sorry.
You're going to have to hear them from me because you can't read them. The first one is John 8:47, which says, he who belongs to God hears what God says. Now that's foundational. Every believer hears God. So nobody here, if you're believers, you hear God. So nobody can come to me and say, well, I'm sorry, I'm not one of those people who hears God. You know, I don't hear God. If you belong to God, you hear God. Now, sometimes when we feel a bit insecure about what God is saying, or we can say, oh, I don't hear God like other people. You're going to hear folks. I mean, Joyce has written the book, Can You Hear God? So you say, oh, well, you know, Joyce is the one who always hears God, and I'm going to go and ask her to hear God for me. No, no. He who belongs to God hears what God says. So, wherever you stand on this thing, you need to say to yourself, I hear the voice of God. The kind of parallel verse is in John 10 and 27. In John 10 and 27 it says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will take them out of my hand. I'm going to read some of the scriptures. Some of them are quoting. Some of the versions may be mixed up, but you get the gist. All right? My sheep hear my... If you're a sheep, you hear his voice. Okay? I'm a sheep. I hear God's voice. So we kind of put that as a sort of foundation. I just want just to encourage folks. Say, yes, Lord, I do hear your voice. Help me hear your voice better. Because it's a whole wide spectrum about hearing God's voice. Not just giving words of encouragement to us, but just showing us how we should live. I love your testimony, Kate, about this friend who was at college with you who got saved. And you almost said, I don't really quite know how she did this. However, when my sheep hear my voice, we are living in a way that we hear God tell us to live. I don't know what it was. God knows what it was. And this person found the Lord. Now her daughter is, you know, encouraging people to worship. You just feel a sense of gratitude for that. That's part of our lives, is hearing God. Your life is affecting people every day. And the way you hear how you should live is part of hearing God in a living in a way that someone says, I want to live that way. on fire for the Lord. Now, these are just kind of fundamentals. Now, the next thing is, in this whole process of hearing God, is knowing that we are filled with the Holy Spirit. In Luke 24:49, it says, I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. So, here are the disciples. Jesus has died, he is risen, and he is just about to go back to heaven, and he says to them, hang on, you folks, before you start doing anything, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And, that's part of the fundamentals of this church, is that we believe that every person here needs to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And if there's any insecurity in that, well, we need to pray for you, because we need to be filled with the Spirit. And this is all part of hearing God, because when we are operating, it's a natural versus supernatural. The thing about being filled with the Spirit is that it gives us a greater consciousness of the voice of God, of the presence of God, of the purpose of God. When, before I was filled with the Spirit, coming from a conservative background where, I was brought up in the Brethren, and the Brethren had not really embraced that whole sense of being filled with the Spirit. They kind of, it was all Pentecostal and charismatic and all the rest of it. But the Lord just led me, led Joyce and I on a pathway where we just knew that we needed to be filled with the Spirit. And we went to a conference in Ireland, and God met with us and filled with the Holy Spirit. And suddenly there was a whole sense of the presence which was continuously with me. I mean, interesting thing, we had some folks with us yesterday, and they're on their way up to the Keswick Convention. And I was almost kind of surprised to hear as to how buoyant and vibrant the Keswick Convention is. You've probably heard about it, most of you. And but one of the things that always reminds me of what happened when I was filled with the Spirit was that I went to the Keswick Convention, I think, a couple of times. And, I remember being in a meeting, and I remember being a great sense of God's presence. And I remember standing up, because at the end there was a kind of a call to say, those who really wanted to follow God with all your heart. And, I stood to my feet, and there was a great sense of emotion. And I thought, Lord, I'm on track for following you with all my heart. When I woke up the next day, I felt as flat as a pancake. And I was just really quite disappointed. The day I was prayed for to be filled with the Holy Spirit, I didn't actually speak in tongues at that moment, did later. But we went to our room, Joyce and I, and we prayed together. When I woke up the next day, I thought, the presence of God is still with me. And that hasn't changed in the last 50 years or however long it was. Daniel actually was in a caricot at that stage, so you can tell how long ago it is. So we'd taken Daniel to Ireland in this little, Moses basket. And the other two were back in Cornwall. But that's just it. But so I'm just laying some principles down, that he who belongs to God hears what God says. If you're a sheep, you hear the shepherd. And if you're filled with the Spirit, the presence of God is with you at all times. And we can hear spiritually, because the contrast of natural and spiritual, that is something we're battling with all the time. What's going on in my head, and what is actually God saying? Now, there's a scripture I want to turn to now in Joshua 9 and verse 14. So I may need to take my glasses out here to read this one. But In Joshua 9, the people of God have gone into the promised land, and God has said to them, all the enemies in the land, you just got to defeat them, overcome them, get them out the way, and that's it. And there they're doing the stuff, they're defeating the enemies, and a group of people come along, and they're called the Gibeonites. And they say, oh, we've come from a very, very, very long far away, and their clothes are ragged, and their bread is, moldy. And it says of the people, Joshua and the people, it says, the men of Israel sampled their provisions, but did not inquire from the Lord. And so there they were. They had these folks coming to say, we'd like to join you, who were deceiving them, who were telling lies. And it says they listened to their story, they ate the food, but they didn't inquire of the Lord. And one of the things of hearing God is knowing that when something happens, that we can actually hear what God is saying about it, because we can be deceived by bright and breezy plans. We have an experience that happened to us. And so we went to work with Colin Urquhart in Sussex, and we lived there for 8 years. And at the very beginning of the eighth year, I was in a leaders' gathering in the beginning of January, and Colin Urquhart and Bob Gordon and various other folk were there, and we were just talking. They were just talking about this and that and the other, what was happening ahead. And I clearly heard the Lord say, it's your time to leave. It's time to leave this and go somewhere else, because your ministry is not here anymore, it's somewhere else. So I heard that from the Lord, and it was quite clear. And I came back, we shared it, and Joyce and I said, right, now, we're going to be leaving by the 31st of August. And this was now January. And so, what are you going to do? I don't know. God has only told us we're leaving. So kind of you share it with people. Yes, we don't know quite where we're going. We know God has still got a plan for our lives. But we know it's not here. And a friend arrived, and he was a good friend of ours. We'd known him for a number of years. But he was kind of one of these very he's always got a bright idea. He's always got some scheme running. And so he came and talked to us. And as he talked to us, he said, I think we ought to be working together. I think we should get a house and have a ministry centre, and your family and our family should be together. And he was very persuasive, and we got quite kind of excited by it. And so here was this, and there was houses we were looking at, one in Cheltenham at one point, and we were just, we knew where we were going. We knew what the plan was. So the days in the road come by, and this thing is beginning to unfold. And we don't quite know how, but we're just feeling quite sort of positive about it. And in the middle of this, I took a trip to the Eastern Germany. I went to ministry into the German DDR before the wall came down. I went there many, many times. And I had a team that came with me. And there was an older couple called Dennis and Mary Long. And there were other folks who came along. In fact, Helga came along to do the worship with us at that time. And so we had arrived in the eastern part of Germany because of the communist era. When we went inside, we made no contact with UK at all, because basically it wasn't safe to do that. We were under the radar. So we met with our team, and I had Dennis and Mary and Helga and various people there. And I just began to share this kind of new plan with these other folks, that we're going to do this and do that. And I just unfolded it. And as I unfolded it, folks asked questions, but I just heard inside me, these folks aren't at all enthusiastic about this scheme. Now, they're loving people, and they didn't just say to me, we think you've got it wrong. And I just thought, and listen to God. I don't want to do the giving out thing and do my own thing. I need to do God's thing. And so we carried on with the ministry trip, and as I continued to pray during that ministry trip, I thought, no, this is not God's best plan. And at the end of the 3 weeks, we were due to have a few days holiday in Germany, and Joyce was joining and the rest of the family. And when Joyce arrived, I just said to her, I said, we need to have a chat, because I said, I've really lost my peace about this plan. She said, well, we need to talk. What had actually happened with Joyce is that during my time away, there was a power cut in Handcross, where we lived. And it's all dark. And currently, during a power cut, you kind of, it's all talking because, you know, there's no light. Coralie just turned to Joyce at the point and said, you know about this plan of ours? She said, do you want to hear what God has said to me about it? So Joyce said, go for it. So Coralie comes in with her little notebook, and the candle is giving enough light to read the words. And she just said, this is what God said to me. And God had quite clearly said, this is not the right plan. So, when we got together, we both heard from heaven that a plan which sounded really good was not from God. And we didn't do it. Praise the Lord, we didn't do it, because it was not God's best. So when we get things into our minds, just keep holding them before the Lord. That's part of hearing God. Just one other thing I'd just like to say here. Got a few other things I want just to share. But one of the kind of things I talked about, he who belongs to God, my sheep hear my voice, filled with the Holy Spirit. The other fundamental is let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. We need the word of God. We need to regularly read scripture. I've got a few Bible plans. Some of you know about the Bible plans. Susie redesigned one and printed it for me. So, you know, everybody knows about Bible plans. I've got a few here. I can stick them on the table. If you haven't got a Bible plan, just take one. They're free. But we need the word of God in our lives, because as we hear God, the things we hear, we're not perfect in our hearing. We can hear stuff that's your own bright ideas, or emotionally something you really want. So we've got to keep checking what we're hearing. And that's why we need the word of God, because the hearing of God will never disagree with the word of God. And I read somewhere or heard somewhere about people who are dealing with counterfeit currency. When you're dealing with counterfeit currency, these people whose job is to find out if a pound note or the 10 pound note or whatever it is has been forged, is they keep examining the real thing. They spend their lives just kind of meditating on a banknote, so that when the wrong one arrives, they can reject it. Okay? And so that's just something that's very, very important. There's another scripture which it's all about hearing God. it says in James 1:5, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask of God, who gives freely and generously to all without finding fault. Part of hearing God is hearing God's wisdom. Hearing God help us do things. I always, when I think about this, Joyce has a great testimony, because at one point in one of our spare bedrooms, our kids were quite young and probably cousins came in. Joyce, we had some folks coming to stay. Joyce goes in the room and there's paint, there's writing all over the wall. You know, felt it, ballpoint. What's going on here? Don't worry, forget it. So Joyce is upstairs with the old, you know, elbow grease and scrubbing away at the walls, and the paintwork is beginning to disappear, when she just says, Lord, there must be an easier way to get rid of this felt tip and all this biro. And the Lord just said, methylated spirits. And so, downstairs, get the methylated spirits, and why, it just disappears like magic. And so the walls were clean, and we could welcome the next set of guests in without feeling that the room was a bit below standard. But God is a God who brings wisdom into our lives. There are many things that we're doing that we just need to say, Lord, is this the right way? How do I do this? Where do I go with this? You know, sometimes we overload the schedule. We try and do too many things in too short a time. I don't know whether you've ever, that's any of your problems. That's a great time just to speak to the Lord and say, Lord, here is what we plan to do today. Would you please speak to me about it? And often, he'll put a red line through some of the things you plan to do. And when you get to the end of the day, he said, if I tried to do everything I planned to do, I'd have been absolutely exhausted. So this is all part of hearing the voice of God. You know, there's an awareness of just living in a way. Hearing God is a lifestyle. We don't do it. So sometimes I say, well, here, God, you know, I need a great, I've got a big decision to make. We're going to move, you know, we're going to go and live abroad or do something like this. I need to hear God on that. No, we need to hear God 24/7, every day, all the time, with everything that's going around. Here's another testimony about hearing God. And Bob Gordon, it may mean nothing to a lot of you, but some of you may have heard of Bob Gordon. He died some years ago. Bob was a very kind of dynamic character, and he was a Scot, and he'd been brought up in a very sort of traditional, you know, theological Scottish way, but he was just desperate to be filled with the Spirit. And he was a kind of a get up and go. He's always on the go. You know, Bob is always 100 miles an hour. And so he was living in Scotland, and he just felt, I need to go down to London because there are people down there I know and they're going to pray for me. And so he jumped on a train and he's on his way down to London because he's going to find someone to get him filled with the Spirit. And as he's on the train going down, another train, a freight train passes. And on one of the trucks it says, return empty to Scotland, on the side of the truck. He says, well, that's God. Gets off the train, goes back to Scotland, and God meets with him. I love that story, because in hearing God, God is speaking in every kind of way, and it isn't, you know, I mean, part of hearing God is, many of you will do this, and many of us do this, we just have a journal, and we say, Lord, what are you saying to me? What have you got to say about today? What have you got to say about the situation now? We just write down what the Lord is saying to us. All kinds of things happen in all kinds of ways. I just, let's see what I've got here. Just a testimony. Oh, there's a couple of testimonies, really. One is that when God called me into full-time ministry, we were in a little chapel in Cornwall on St. Agnes Beacon. And there was a friend of ours, a guy who was based in Post Green down in near Poole, a guy called Dennis Ball. Now, Dennis Ball was a great guy and an anointed teacher, and we got to know Dennis very well. And there was this meeting in St. Agnes Beacon. And so off we go there. And here is this Dennis, he's a great guy. So we walk into this little chapel and we sit down. And there were so few people there, I was angry. I looked around the people there, and I was thinking of all the folks, you know, around the county who should have been there. And I was thinking, Lord, here's this guy, this anointed man of God, and there's so few people here. You know, wait till I see so-and-so. I was really kind of feeling so. And then the Lord said to me, well, perhaps God brought you here to listen to him and not get cross about those who aren't here. So I told God, sorry, I'm getting so cross about this. And he was speaking a word. And it was very much a word about God calling you out. It was very much about when Peter was told to cast the net on the other side, and how, you know, he really had to sort of submit his life to the Lord. And it was a message about, you know, there are people here, there is a call of God on your life, and tonight is the night you're going to really step out in faith. Now, my natural personality is more, I'm more quiet. I'm not a kind of extrovert. I might sound a bit extrovert now, but I'm not. And so kind of being a bit sort of stepping back is my natural thing. What's going to happen here? Let's see what's happening. But at that moment, I knew that God was calling me. So when Dennis said, if you just know that the call of God is on your life, come out here to the front. I was up on my feet, pushing past the people alongside me, you know, crashing my way through the thing to be the first on the communion rail at the front of the church. And I knelt down there, and actually another lady came and knelt beside me, and then Joyce was on the other side. And Dennis came over and he laid hands on me and he prayed and he prophesied. One of the interesting things he said is this, that God has a call on your life, and you're going to need to follow him. And it's like going up a mountain, because if you could see what's on the other side of the mountain, you try and make it happen. But you're not going to make it happen. You have just got to take one step at a time. Because you know when you've got these big hills, you think you've got to the summit, and you go over the little brow, and there's a bit more hill. Do you know what I'm talking about? Well, that's the kind of word that he said. Every time you go over the brow, you just need to climb to the next height. I thought that's amazing. And that has really been the testimony of our life. God's taken us all kinds of places, but we haven't had to make it happen. God made it happen. But the interesting thing about that time is that as he was praying for me, this lady called Dorothy next door to me, Joyce was alongside, she took to Joyce, and she looked at me, she said, you must be a married couple. And we said, yes, we are. She said, well, as Dennis was praying for you, and then praying, he said, I could just feel there was the presence of God is flowing. I was in the middle like an electric current. So she said, no, I need to move down there so we can be together. That's just a little aside. So, but that was a word from the Lord. But just here's my last story, and I've overrun my time, and you don't have to forgive me. But the thing is this, that we worked in this ministry down in Sussex for 8 years, and then I was doing a ministry for church leaders, and they would come into our centre, about 25 at a time, and God met with them in a wonderful way. But God showed me that the High Leaders Week, that's what they were called, time to end. So I'd ended them, we planned no more, sent out no more brochures. And then people, when I had said, we're not doing High Leaders Week anymore, and people go, what are you going to do? I said, I'm sure the Lord knows what I'm going to do. But you know, I felt, when I made the decision, I felt peaceful. When they stopped asking the questions, I began to feel lacking a peace. But these guys are kind of shaking my confidence. And I was just saying, Lord, you know, I need a word for you. And just in the daily reading, you know, so much of what God says, when I say read the Bible every day, God just speaks to you every day, because something comes through. So suddenly, I open up my Bible in Ephesians 2 and verse 10. And I read that verse, which says, and we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, to do the good works that God has prepared in advance for us to do. And that set me free. I am God's workmanship. God has prepared in advance what he wants me to do, and all I've got to do is do it. And so, you know, when these faces go and say, oh, what's going to happen after this little high tea with? I said, well, you see, it's Ephesians 2:10. I'm going to walk in the works that God has shown me to. I didn't say that because it sounds a bit super spiritual. You know, I didn't lay that on people as if I was kind of giving them, kind of shaking their confidence. But it actually put a complete peace in my heart. And, well, God was true to his word. That's why we're standing here now, just thankful for God's faithfulness in every way. Faithfulness to us, to Joyce and myself, faithfulness to our family. I look at Daniel and Tanya and say, God, we see God's faithfulness to you. And because we just do the things that God has showed us to do. And it just so happened, as that kind of, you know, people, I had invitations to go here, there and everywhere. And, you know, I could never believe, if you talk to me when I gone to the front in St. Agnes Beacon Chapel and told me the places where we would go and share the word of God, I wouldn't have believed it. But God is faithful, and we hear his voice. And one of the things, I love that story about this friend of yours who got saved, because I believe in hearing God. It's not just knowing what God wants to do to me. It's the way that I just want to be available to God, to be what he wants me to be. It's all part of hearing him. Now, this was going to go on the overhead slide. This is my finale. As you know, Joyce has written the book, Can You Hear God? And one of the things that was part of that journey for Joyce was when God spoke to her about really listening and just getting in and just hearing what he had to say about every part of life. And a song was being sung at that time which said, Holy Spirit, come, make my ears to hear, make my eyes to see, make my mouth to speak, make my heart to sing, make my hands to reach out and touch the world with your love. You may know that song, you may not know that song, but that was a song at the time. And the Lord just said to Joyce, just take that song, and I want you to take it line by line. And each day I'm going to take another line, and I'm going to minister that to you and help you to enter into that. And so, we're actually going to do this. I'd like you all to stand on your feet, and I want you to say these words after me. I'll do it line at a time. Holy Spirit, come, make my ears to hear. Right.
Holy Spirit, come, make my ears to hear.
Make my eyes to see.
Make my eyes to see.
Make my mouth to speak.
Make my mouth to speak.
Make my heart to sing.
Make my heart to sing.
Make my hands to reach out. And touch the world with your love. Amen. Father, I just want to pray for all your people here today. We know each other. We've had a long journey with each other. And Lord, we know that to hear your voice is absolutely bedrock. It's the principle of our lives. Lord, we can get sloppy. We can get lazy. And we can get neglectful. And Lord, I just pray that in every part of our lives, in seeing, in hearing, in connecting with our friends, Lord, that whole voice of God is just going to enliven us to be the person that you've called us to be, and ministering your life and your very presence into every situation that we come to. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.